Hi, this is Russ Walden with Father's Heart Ministry. I want to bring a message to you today titled, The Comfortable Lie of Independent Faith. In the opening chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul greets the Ephesian believers and immediately begins to pronounce these powerful blessings upon them. These are profound declarations of God's goodness. They were intended to do more than just warmly greet the Ephesians. Paul understood his authority being that which he could actually confer these blessings upon the people that they might be impacted deeply, even viscerally, by the words coming out of his mouth. Imagine Paul writing in the confines of his cell, in prison in Rome, dictating this impassioned letter with Timothy, scribbling as quick as he could, sitting on the floor outside Paul's cell. And in verse 3, we can almost see Paul stop pacing, lifts his hands in praise, and said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. These words resonate with 2 millennia of church history. At the time that Paul wrote this, that was a very revolutionary statement. The resurrection of Jesus was still, for many, a fresh, and for some, a scandalous reality. Regarding those who had embraced this new and controversial faith that today we know of as Christianity, the Jewish authorities had crucified Jesus precisely because he claimed a sonship relationship with God. And this was a claim they deemed blasphemous. Yet, just a few short years later, Paul finds himself overwhelmingly grateful for this very truth. No doubt in Paul's mind, he's flashing back to that transformative encounter on the road to Damascus where Jesus dramatically pulled him from the darkness and launched him into a ministry that would not only reshape the culture of his time, but lay the very foundation for the Christianity we know of today. Now, why is Paul blessing the Lord at this pivotal moment in the opening of this letter? The subsequent part of the verse, Ephesians 1:3, gives us the reason. It's because Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He could have said, has blessed you, and addressed the believers individually, but he didn't do that. Paul is using this deliberate word, us. He's emphasizing the collective identity of the body of Christ rather than a singular each of you. Now, this distinction carries significant weight, particularly in our contemporary context where many Christians advocate a spiritual but not religious viewpoint, often at the expense of highlighting the vital importance of the corporate body of Christ. It's a euphemism, spiritual but not religious. It can be a euphemism for what others call lone wolf Christianity. People just out there on their own, they're church hurt, they've been burnt in the church, and therefore they're not connected to the corporate body of Christ. Jesus didn't save you for a solitary journey encapsulated in that song titled, Just Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going. Rather, you are saved unto Jesus and into the expansive body of Christ. Corporate connection. It's indispensable. You might not think so. And you may have been through some things. Everybody's got a history. Your connection to the global body of Christ, to the local body of Christ, is indispensable from the context of New Testament teaching. It's non-optional. Why this emphasis on the corporate body of Christ? All blessings in Christ are bestowed not as a singular benefit, but as a communal inheritance and us blessing, and not merely an individual you blessing. And you can find both in the scripture, but this is an us blessing. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're distant from active engagement in the body of Christ, you are excluding yourself from a dimension of blessing that Paul specifically references here. Now, do you truly desire all that God has for you? Are you willing to align your life and position yourself in a way that activates the availability of these spiritual blessings Ephesians 1:3 talks about? Then you must seriously consider then the quality of your us relationship within the broader body of Christ. In other words, the character of your connection to the body of Christ is a metric to the degree which these all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ accrue to you, because they're not addressed or spoken as a you blessing, they're spoken as an us blessing. Local body of Christ, the global body of Christ, the corporate body. Both by, how do we gauge it? By looking at whether we are actively participating in a local expression of the church, and not just the local expression, but by consciously living out your faith in the context of his overarching purposes for that unified corporate entity the scripture repeatedly emphasizes, the church of the living God. Take my hand, and in the spirit, reach out, grasp the hands of the fellow believers in your vicinity and within your shared faith. Adopt a new perspective. We should actively desire to be connected to the us dynamic of the church. This connection is vital for us to appropriate a level of blessing designed to reach and impact our lives in the context of a shared commitment to the larger body of Christ, both locally and globally. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 133. Behold how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's not just me and Jesus have our own thing, don't we? It is like the precious ointment on the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon which falls upon the mountains of Zion. In that us dynamic, the Lord has commanded a blessing even like forevermore. The very blessing that Paul is articulating in Ephesians 1:3. It's an us blessing, not just a you blessing. If words mean him, do you grasp the profound message? This verse. There is an anointing, an oil from God's very throne that flows down upon a unified body. It is a precious ointment that originates from the head, who is Christ Jesus, cascading down the beard, that priestly representation of a mature body of Christ. Sets aside independent, self-centered thinking and embraces a level of unity that moves the hand of divine providence to entrust you with a level of anointing and blessing that is inaccessible to the isolated, independent spiritual recluse who mistakenly believes their individual spirituality and alleged maturity exempts them from the vital community of Christ only found within the church, locally and globally. Now, where do these abundant blessings originate that Christ bestows upon us? Notice what the verse says. They reside in heavenly places in Christ. How does that benefit us, and how can we gain access to them? First of all, by recognizing that while we inhabit the earth, our true origin and spiritual citizenship lie in the new birth of heavenly origin. This powerful theme permeates Paul's teachings throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:48 tells us, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of him. Now, what does this signify for us? It means that your spiritual citizenship transcends earthly natural considerations. Your true citizenship, along with all the accompanying spiritual blessings, originates in the heavens, the very source of your birthright as a believer, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, notice that these blessings are not inherently in you, but rather are found in Christ. So we have to open our hearts and our minds to an in Christ mentality. Who we are in and of ourselves holds very little ultimate significance. Who we are in Christ is absolutely everything. Observe that the blessings in Christ are not limited, but it says all spiritual blessings. Seek first the kingdom and all of these things will be added. All means all. Do you really believe that? You must also believe that in Christ, not a single blessing is withheld from you. This encompasses the complete inventory of every conceivable blessing applicable to every facet of your existence. You are not excluded or deemed ineligible in any way to walk in, enjoy, and fully experience all that Christ died to make available to those who are in Him. The church is His body. You're in Him, you're going to be in His body. Deuteronomy foreshadows, Deuteronomy 28, these all-encompassing blessings, which while initially directed toward natural Israel, now apply to you and me as well. Let's read it. All of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Blessed be the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed you'll be when you come in, and blessed you'll be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all you set your hand to. And He will bless you in the land which He has given. He told the Israelites, put your foot on something, I'll give it to you. So whatever land you've got your feet on right now, that's your land. The Lord will establish you a holy people to Himself, as He has sworn, if you keep His commandments and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. And they're going to be afraid of you. And so they should. And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods. What is this? Oh, don't believe in that prosperity message. Then you don't believe the Bible. He said He'll make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land that He swore to give to you. The Lord will open to you. He's not holding out on you. He will open to you His good treasure. The heaven to give rain to your land and to bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many and not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. If you hearken to the commandments of the Lord your God. So these comprehensive blessings are yours and mine in Christ, within the vital context of our corporate connection, not just to Jesus individually, but collectively as His body. Remember, Jesus is the head, and the church is His body. If we reject the church through the belief that we're too spiritually advanced for a local expression, or simply through the act of forsaking the local body, we are in effect forsaking Him. Your attitude and posture toward the body of Christ directly reflect your attitude and posture toward the head. You cannot genuinely accept the head while rejecting the body. To do so is to estrange yourself from the very blessings promised in Ephesians 1:3. Are you ready to make a course correction? Are you open to correction? Are you correctable? There are profound blessings ahead of you, readily available if you will simply make some adjustments. Open your heart. Connect with the body of Christ. Move forward together to embrace, access, and even boldly exploit all spiritual blessings that Paul declared to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:3. Paul's opening letter to the Ephesians, it's not just a polite greeting. It's a powerful and intentional declaration of God's abundant blessing available to believers in Christ. He emphasizes the corporate nature of these blessings, highlighting that our connection to the body of Christ is not an optional extra, but a vital conduit for experiencing this very provision. The blessings themselves are not just earthly or temporal, but spiritual, and located in heavenly places, accessible through your identity in Christ. This passage challenges any notion of isolated spirituality and underscores the profound importance of active participation and unity within the local and global church. It calls us to recognize our heavenly citizenship and to boldly claim the comprehensive blessings that are our inheritance in Christ. How about a five-part call to action? Let's reevaluate your connection. Would you just take a moment and honestly assess your current level of engagement within the local body of Christ? Are you actively participating and contributing, or are you on the periphery? And how's that working for you? Embrace corporate identity. Consciously shift your mindset to recognize. Charismatics back in the 60s and 70s, recognize and value your place in the larger us of the body of Christ. Understand that you are saved into a community and not just from something. Seek unity intentionally. Make a deliberate effort to foster unity and connection with fellow believers. Set aside any independent or isolating tendencies and actively pursue meaningful relationships within the church. Believe in the all of His blessing. Fully embrace the truth that in Christ, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Reject any limiting beliefs that would hinder you from experiencing the fullness of God's provision in every area of your life. Step into your inheritance. Boldly position yourself to receive and walk in these all spiritual blessings. It involves faith, obedience, and commitment to living out your life in Christ within the context of His body, the church. This is Russ Walden with Father's Heart Ministry. You can learn more about us at fathersheartministry.net. God bless you.